Hey, shitheads, exciting announcement alert. We've got merch.
There are a few ways that you can get your hands on this merch. One, keep checking our Instagram story for periodic giveaways.
And two, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/upshitscreek, sign up at the podcast producer level, and you'll get your pick of either a t-shirt, a tote bag, or a mug.
And remember, shitheads, this is all while supplies last, and this stuff is not for purchase. It is going to be given away to all of our fabulous listeners. That's you.
And now, on with the show.
I implore you, please forward the following. John, my macho man, you don't deserve another failure.
What is happening?
I don't know, David, just go with it. John, we're here for you.
Well, Alexis, your hand's as dry as an autumn leaf.
Ew.
Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast.
Dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
How are you, the Duke?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, yeah. Hanging in there, yep.
Yes. There's a lot to say about this episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on.
Yes.
I feel like a little bit more quiet as I was watching it this time. Usually I have a lot to say about the episode as it's happening. But just in watching it, my jaw was kind of on the floor a little bit with a lot of things.
Yeah, you know? I know what you mean. I think that it definitely kept me on the edge of my seat throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
And so it was very like, okay, where is this going? What's going to happen?
I think maybe that's what it is. It's the unknowing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know anymore what's going on. And it's so weird because I was convinced that I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, or like a little bit of what was going to happen. And I don't feel that way at all anymore. So yeah.
Lots of question marks.
Yes.
Before we get into this episode, a little bit of Schitt's news.
A beep, 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 beep.
A fan of the show, her name is Lauren. During this quarantine stay at home stuff, she has started a project, which you can follow at Schitt's Creek Projects on Instagram. Her husband made a dollhouse kind of thing of the motel.
Wow.
Like, you know, like oh a wooden structure, I guess, of the motel in a cross section. So it's got one side and then the other side is open.
Oh, that's so cool.
Very cool, right? And she's going to basically be populating it with the two bedrooms and like these little miniatures, and she's doing all these like crafts for it, and she's sort of crowdsourced it too on the Schitt's Creek Fans Shoot the Shit Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
She posted about it and she was telling everybody, you know, if you want to make things and send them in, like, we'll include them in the decor of the thing. Long story short, I thought it was an amazing idea, an amazing project, and she'll be posting the progress on it on the Instagram at Schitt's Creek Projects. Keep your eyes peeled for that. If you are a crafty person listening to this, you know, maybe get involved. I feel like it's going to be really cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah, she shared one she had done previously on the Three's Company apartment.
Oh my gosh.
Where she had done like the kitchen and the living room and everything. And it was amazing. Very
detailed. I need to check this out.
Yeah, very, very cool.
What the heck?
And I've seen some progress she's posted here and there, and she's working on that little mail box that's out, you know, like the red thing that you put newspapers in.
Yeah.
So it's very cool. It's very intricate. And a fun thing to occupy your time while we're all just sitting around at home, you know? So very cool.
Rad. What's her name?
Lauren.
And what's the name of her Instagram again?
It's Schitt's Creek Project.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm just going to go check that out too when we're done. Very cool.
We have to talk about the EW digital covers they did. I mean,
what?
Be still my heart.
Is happening. I didn't know I needed this until I saw it.
What? Okay, hold on. Which one is your favorite? Which one's your favorite one?
Probably the 16 candles one.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine is the Notting Hill one.
Really?
Seeing David just Dan draped over Noah with their hands like intertwined. It just makes my heart sing.
My favorite part about it, and each one of them, is when, like, it comes to the end of each little clip or whatever.
And they break.
They just start busting up laughing. And it's the best thing to see them cracking up like that.
It's so sweet.
It is. It really is. Dan in Black and White.
Mm.
Oh, is it just me or are all of his features, like, defined? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. crazy mm-hmm. defined in Black and White.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he looks so good.
It's amazing what a shadow can do.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, but those are pretty cool.
Yeah, those are really, yeah. really fun. They also made me change my mind about this episode, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Well, I shouldn't say change my mind about the episode, but, and we'll get into this as we get into the episode, but I think you and I had talked about, you know, the big question mark that we are left feeling at the end of this episode.
Yes.
But seeing those covers made me think, like, okay, well, I mean, everyone else is acting like it's just a foregone conclusion at this point. So,
interesting.
Including them. So I wonder if then I'm just, who knows?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what the conversation is, you know, because there's going to have to be one, obviously. This next episode, which these next two episodes, the last two, are the finale.
Two-part finale.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I did not know that was going to be a thing.
I don't think a lot of people did.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we're at the finale.
I know.
So,
no, I can't. Nope. No.
I mean, it's here now, so we have to, you know?
Well, listen, we still have another week on this podcast before we have to deal with it, so.
But, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And what a way for them to ring in or to gear up for the finale. I mean, with this episode, like I said, my jaw was on the floor.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know anymore about anything. And I'm scared. And I'm excited. And I'm all the emotions of life all in one ball of denial. You know? I am. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. But this was a good episode.
Then let's get into it,
yes,
shall we?
Let's.
All right. So this is episode 612, titled The Pitch. And the Pop TV synopsis is, Johnny, Stevie, and Roland head to New York for their pitch meeting, while the family anxiously awaits their return.
Once again, it's one of those episodes where everything is centered around this one particular storyline. It's all about what's happening right now with the team.
The Rosebud Motel Group team.
This is what they're trying to do. They're going to go meet Mike.
Yeah.
So they think.
I just want to go on record and say that Mike is a fucking snake.
Yeah.
And I hate myself for patting him on the back last week and like singing his praises like Johnny was.
Right.
Fuck that asshole. Just saying.
Yeah. It was pretty fucked up. What Mike ends up doing to them and his fucking compadres that he works with.
Ugh. I can't even right now. But let's start this episode with the way we start every episode with
a word. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word. A word of. This segment where we give you our words.
Why don't you start us off?
Okay, well, I'm going to keep it real fucking simple. I'm going to channel my inner Joey Lawrence from the early 90s. And my word for this episode is whoa. Because whoa, dude, what the fuck about everything? Like I said, I just don't know what the fuck is happening anymore. Mm-hmm. So whoa is my word.
I completely understand and respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, my word is intense because I feel like this episode is just very intense.
Yeah.
One of the definitions of intense is having strong opinions, extremely earnest or serious, which on the meta level applies from as the audience watching the episode, this was intense.
Yeah.
But also for the characters, especially for the Rosebud Motel Group, they are so passionate. They are so eager about this idea. They are like intensely invested in this pitch, and things happen.
They do happen. Things do happen. Some of the other words that we got from some of our listeners, we got assumptions from Zach Attack.
Okay. Okay.
Dead. They said, because that's what I am now. Ahead.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Inconsiderate.
Mm.
Approval. Frank sent us anxious.
Right.
And unsettled.
So lots of turmoil.
Yes.
I think people yep. are also really feeling
see a
that
pattern
turmoil.
Or a mm-hmm. theme here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So great words. Great words. Thanks for those who sent us their words. We look forward to seeing your words, especially when you guys love to give us your meaning or why you chose those words. They're always very interesting.
Yeah.
We love to see your point of view on things. So absolutely. Thank you for that.
All right. Let's dive in.
Let's start this sucker out.
Well, we start in a very heightened state.
Yeah.
Because everybody is outside at the motel. Well, I should say the Roses and Patrick and Stevie are all outside at the motel. Johnny's pacing back and forth. Roland is late. There's a car waiting for them.
Yeah.
You know, he's already 15 minutes late. If they miss this meeting window by 30 minutes, the whole thing goes to shit. And then Roland and Jocelyn come rolling up. And Roland is dressed to the nines in one of Johnny's suits.
Bless his heart.
It's so sweet. He's like, I can't believe your suit fits me. They're going to do this big send-off,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
We learned that they've sent a jet to take them to New York for this meeting.
Yeah, I thought it was very nice, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. of Mike.
Yeah.
But we learn, you know, well, why he does it.
Whatever. We'll get there. Mm-hmm. And so they take off. Jocelyn has made signs for them.
I to, love
like, hold up.
This little touch.
It's so funny. And so here we already get a bit of a glimpse of where Moira's head's at, because she makes a couple Freudian slips here.
Yes.
She refers to Johnny and Stevie and Roland needing all the help they can get.
Yes.
And then has to quickly course correct to support. I mean, support. And then later,
goodbye, my conquistadors. We are all relying on, no, we're cheering you on.
And so they go.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but that overhead shot, the establishing shot that shows that they're in New York, for a second I was like, oh, it's a commercial, and but then you hear the doot, 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 like the,
yeah.
the strings, the familiar strings of the show, and I was like, oh, right, no, they're actually in New York.
They
like, it was
flew.
Such a juxtaposition, because mm-hmm. we've never seen them outside of Schitt's Creek or the surrounding vicinities, all the Elm places.
It was interesting, and what I love, too, is that shot of the three of them sitting there in this huge building, yeah. and they look so small in comparison to everything else that's going on around them. And I love that little shot of
yeah.
the three of them.
It's very important.
Yes.
It's,
yes.
It really sets up, oh, yeah, small fish, big pond.
Yeah.
This is a culture shift
mm-hmm.
for them.
But they're there, and they're extremely nervous, especially Roland and Stevie. I mean, Johnny... Damn it, man. I fucking love this man so much. The confidence that he exudes. And what's interesting is we've seen him lose his cool before. I mean, it's happened several times. But it's almost like he knew what Roland and Stevie needed. And he wasn't going to allow himself to buckle under the pressure or to show that he was nervous or upset or anything at all other than just confident and ready for this. And it's what Stevie and Roland needed, and they kind of just fell in line, just like him. You know, like, okay, this is what we're here for.
But then we meet Ruth.
Yes.
And Ruth comes down. She's going to be their gopher, I guess, mm-hmm. right?
She's Mike's assistant, right?
Mike's assistant.
Okay.
Yeah. She's the one who has to tell them that unfortunately Mike was called away to Johannesburg.
God.
And for a week.
Unfortunately, Mike's an asshole and can't be here.
Here's the thing is for a split second, I bought it until you realize that it was his idea to send the jet. So he
yeah.
had to have known at least one day before that he wasn't going to be here for this meeting.
Right.
And so, yeah, like, fuck you, Mike. You're the
worst. I guess the problem I'm having with this is I just don't understand why.
Why what?
Like, why? Why set up this whole thing? If he, clearly, like you said, he knew at some point, you know, this just wasn't
yeah.
a thing. It wasn't going to happen. So why? Like, why go through with it?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, it does feel a little bit weird because it would be one thing if you figured, oh, he wanted to see Johnny squirm, but then he's not going to be there for it, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is that he just felt like he owed him one, but then clearly didn't pass the memo around to his coworkers. Just hear him out and be respectful because they were so disrespectful to them.
Extremely. I thought it was a fucking joke how disrespectful. This isn't real.
Yeah. Like, I mean, right? It was very gutting.
Hope the jet was Johnny Rose approved. Although I guess at this point, coach would be Johnny Rose approved.
Quite the tumble you took there, Johnny.
Could have happened to any one of us. But thank you for flying us in today.
And the look on Johnny's face. Really? This? From you guys? Mm-hmm. You're going to do this shit right now? And yeah, he gave that kind of like a, you know, a little, okay, well, just, that's not what we're here for.
And Stevie even, right, she says, okay, well, why don't we get started? Hi. They have this well-oiled presentation and it's like, can we just do what we came here to do, please? And so they start and Stevie is, you know, nervous. She stumbles a little bit with her words, but she's getting, you know, she's getting into it. And then, of course, the tech fails. And Ruth is right there. She says that they're going to get IT and they'll get it sorted. That's when Roland makes the faux pas with the water and spills all that.
Johnny takes it all so well, though.
All in stride.
And, like, Stevie's apologizing, and he's like, no need to apologize. This stuff happens.
Yeah.
We're fine. And he says it, too. He's like, let's take a quick five.
Mm-hmm.
Let's regroup, and we'll come back in, and it'll be fine. I mean, he just keeps his cool the entire time.
So while this is going on, the rest of them back at home, Moira is already packing her suitcases. She's neatly folding all her dresses, putting things away, just, you know, doing her. And Alexis walks in like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. And we learn that basically Moira's eyes are set on New York. Like, as soon as this deal happens, which she has no doubt in her mind.
She's extremely confident that this is going to go down.
She understands, I think, intellectually that obviously this could not happen.
Yeah.
You know, or could not go through. But she's so just willing it to be. There's no other way this can go.
Right.
So much so that she's going to pack her bags and be ready to leave at a moment's notice.
Yeah. Like, this made me very nervous.
Very.
And then it gets taken a step further when Alexis and David have that conversation.
Well, right. So Alexis gets all taken aback by the fact that Moira is just so sure they're going to move to New York when all this happens. And then she gets a little bit ahead of herself where she says, oh, well, Interflix wants me to deepen my relationship with them so I can move to New York too.
Which is amazing. God.
Amazing. Also, it makes me wonder, you know, in the last episode, Alexis talks about leaving and spreading her wings, right? Where else would she go but New York?
Yeah.
You know? In my mind, it was always going to be she leaves Schitt's Creek for New York so she can do the thing that she said she was going to do. And then it seems like she surprises herself with that idea. Like, oh, wait, I can move to New York too. That's genius.
Because she brought it up like it was NBD to Moira. Like, well, the people at Interflix really want to talk to me. What? Okay.
Well, but also she's not so NBD because she even says, I know this isn't technically news, but this is big news.
Yeah.
It's that thing of they're all getting too ahead of themselves with this. Yes. They get these nuggets of ideas and then they run with them.
Yeah.
And they're not quite thinking logistically or in terms of all the possibilities that could happen.
Yeah, but they're always like that.
True.
Always.
True. True.
Always. So not shocking.
Yeah.
But very frustrating because you don't want them to get ahead of themselves because we've seen this before.
Yep.
We know this episode. Like, exactly. You know?
And we know what's going on in New York.
Yes.
And so it's all very like,
It's like when they're talking, stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop talking.
Yeah. And I think it reaches the pinnacle of that when David comes into the room.
Right.
And so he comes in. It's that funny exchange between him and Alexis.
What are you doing?
Working. What are you doing?
I'm on a break. What are you actually doing?
I am looking up apartment rentals in New York. What are you actually doing?
I forgot my wallet and keys and phone.
And then we learn basically that Alexis is already sort of apartment shopping in New York, and she's already thought two steps ahead on David. She's looking for a two-bedroom that he and Patrick can move in with her into.
Do you love this?
If by love you mean feel uncomfortable about, yes.
Well, okay. Let me rephrase that. I love this because she's thinking about them.
That this is true.
I think that's sweet. While I don't think the gesture is like fully thought through. She wants to remain close to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But she was thinking about them, you know?
3 years ago, had they had this opportunity to go back to New York or move to New York, they would have just been every man for himself. Who cares?
Exactly. You know? Also, never in a million years could the three of them live together.
Absolutely not.
Like, what?
Right?
What's David even thinking about? Like even giving that idea any
credence?
Yes, at all. He's like, well, no, David. No.
No.
No, not happening.
Absolutely not.
You're going to be newlyweds. You think that Patrick would want to live with your sister?
And also think about the logistics of that, like in terms of space, in terms of who they are as people. David and Alexis can barely function sharing the room they've shared for the last 3 years. Like, exactly. And I mean, they probably would have a little bit more room, but apartments in New York are not notoriously huge, you know, especially when one of them has a Murphy bed in it. Okay?
Oh my God. And she wanted to give that one to David. Yeah. What? No way. No way.
He goes, we'd get the master. Okay, but I have a lot of coats. Alexis.
Yeah, and I really like this conversation. It's as frustrating as it is.
Yeah.
That it's even happening.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because
they are. They revert right back to themselves.
Yes. The ideas that they're throwing out there.
I have to go back to work. So why don't I just talk to Patrick and then we shall regroup at some point? Because there's a lot of what ifs to go through. Like, what if we don't agree on apartment decor or candle fragrance, etc.?
Totally.
I don't want to get too excited about this, but I will be putting our names down for that ticket lottery to see Carrie because Elle Fanning is supposed to be incredible as the foreman.
Now that's a show I want to see.
Right?
I want to see a show starring Kerry Washington and Elle Fanning and a slew and 10 other people.
Oh, 12 Angry Men. Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the conversation is hilarious. And Alexis, you know, just ending with her.
I know. See? No, I don't like it. That really? Hair flip makes me want to throttle her.
Oh,
because it just makes her seem so vapid and shallow.
It reminded me of what's her name. It reminded me of Claire.
Yeah, it's such a Claire thing to
do. Like when she walked away, she's like, she did like the little bob thing. That's what it
is. It's a total Claire moment.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't like it, especially as it's on the heels of David. You know, because to be fair to David, he does sort of try to temper Alexis a little bit in that conversation when he first comes in and she's like, I'm looking for apartments. He's like, okay, well, what if this doesn't go through though? Mm-hmm. Or I have to talk to Patrick. And, you know, like he is trying to temper and then he gets himself, you know, he loses it himself too. And then it's on the heels of him being like, I am going to put us down for that lottery. And she does the hair flip thing. And I'm just like, who are these people? Like,
it's them, though. That's the thing. As much as it's in Johnny to be the badass that he is,
I know.
This is the Rose family.
You're right.
Like,
you're right.
I mean, I wouldn't know who Moira was if she wasn't thinking about going to New York, you know?
That's true.
It's just, and Alexis, too. David is the one that I am extremely disappointed in this. Extremely disappointed. I don't know how any part of him doesn't understand that this is a conversation that first and foremost you need to have with the person that you're going to be marrying. What? And for him to bring it up to Patrick, like, this is happening. What? I'm not okay with David right now.
I'm going to take this opportunity now to read Frank's email that we got, because I will say I felt the exact same way for days after watching this until I read his insight, and it definitely changed my perspective on how David is reacting to all of this.
Okay,
my thoughts on the David Patrick story setup has to include a rant, because I've gotten a little frustrated with our community. It really galls me that there's a very vocal segment of the fandom that is determined to paint David as some kind of monster who is completely unworthy of Patrick. One person has formally stated multiple times that they feel David constantly treats Patrick with casual cruelty. Those were the exact words they used. They have been using David's fixation and alleged extravagance with creating his dream wedding as evidence, even though it's clear now that David has not been abusing the budget. Now, this week's episode is being used as the final proof of how presumptuous David is, right? How completely self-absorbed and selfish he is, how he views Patrick just as an accessory, how he has no regard for Patrick's feelings and is making plans without including him. To all that, I can't help but reply, bullshit. If anyone is being presumptuous, it's Moira for assuming getting the funding automatically means moving to New York. Johnny hasn't even discussed it, especially since Roland and Stevie as partners need to be included and considered. If anyone is being self-centered and making plans that affect Patrick without consulting him, it's Alexis. After getting swept up in Moira's plans, she took upon herself to find apartments for the three of them. As sweet as it is of a callback to the end of season one, it's completely self-serving on her part. She's doing this less as a favor and more as a way to keep her support system close by. David started out as the voice of reason in that scene, and it was clear he never gave any thought to the possibility that Johnny landing the deal would mean they could or would move out of town. Even after Alexis charged and wound him up as only she can, David's first thought was Patrick. He kept saying he needs to tell him the news and include him in the discussion, which he did after a muffin detour. More importantly is how David dealt with Patrick's reaction. He backtracked and made no attempt to sell Patrick on the idea of moving. He could have easily made the case that their store would be more successful in a more urban environment. He could have brought up the move would allow him to stay near Alexis. He could have said moving could be an adventure they could be sharing as brand new husbands. He could have even talked about all the virtues of New York, including all the sports teams they would get to see live. But he did none of that. He even downplayed Johnny's chances of securing the deal. All this to try to make Patrick feel better. I don't necessarily want to get bogged down in the details about like Moira and Alexis and their presumptuousness and stuff. But when it comes to David, like, yeah, he let himself get swept up in the idea of seeing Kerry Washington. But the minute he brings it to Patrick.
Yeah.
And Patrick is clearly like, what the hell? The first words out of his mouth are like, okay, well, this might not even happen. Like, never mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think he does care.
I don't think that's a question of whether or not he cares. He clearly cares. He's marrying the guy. Like, he loves him. I think the fact that he brought it to him in the first place the way he did says a lot. He would have never gotten that reaction out of Patrick. He would have never had to have, like, you know, backtracked if he would have just thought, okay, let's just wait. Let's continue on with our lives right now because that's our focus. It should be my focus. And let's wait.
That's a fair point. Because he could have waited to see what even came of Johnny's meeting.
Yeah.
He could have even if he didn't want to do that, he could have just simply said to Patrick, hey, what do you think about us moving to New York?
Yeah.
Not, they're all moving, we're going with them.
That's, yeah. And going back to the conversation that one Alexis had with Moira and then the one she had with David, that's where the frustration is. That's why I say it gets so upsetting, because they're even treating it like this in the first place.
Yeah.
Like it's a for sure thing. Like, oh, this, everything's going to change. Like, just wait.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Roses don't do well.
Yeah, they don't wait.
Right. And they don't have patience.
Yeah.
And they get ahead of themselves. And it's very frustrating. And so for me, where I get like, ugh, with David is the fact, again, that he is pulling Patrick into that. You know? And he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve to have to wonder or question why David wants these things or is bringing this to the table. Like, what? It makes him feel uncertain and unsure about where this is going and
if they do want the same things in the end.
I mean, like, that's where it gets ugly, like an unnecessary. You know, that's for me. It's just unnecessary if he had just waited. That's it.
Yeah, no, I, you know? And that's a fair point.
I don't think he's a monster. Right. I mean, he's David.
Yeah.
You know?
And again, we should make it clear that that's Frank's words.
Right.
Not, opinion. You know. And he's not even putting those words in our mouths either. Mm-mm.
No, purely opinion. But, you know, I've seen that. I didn't know that there were people getting that gnarly in the community about David. And that's crazy.
I'll say this. There's people getting gnarly about Patrick in the community.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you and I have had our moments about getting gnarly about people on this podcast.
That's true.
So I get it, but I don't know. I just think it's a reach to be calling anybody like a monster at this point. Like,
come on. Let's not lose sight of the fact that this is a show.
Yeah.
And these people, and it's a sitcom. Okay.
If we could come around about with Roland, then you know what?
Exactly. No, but I do think that you make a good point that it does come down to a fundamental issue of the roses being incapable of waiting to see and not getting too ahead of themselves and just cooling their jets for a second before they make all these grand plans and have all these grand designs for themselves.
Yeah.
So
that was another thing, like, why I chose the word whoa, because as I see this happening, I'm like, whoa, calm down, dude. Whoa. This is a lot right now. And you don't even know. And then, like you said earlier, we're seeing what's happening in New York.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh no.
So one other thing happens before we cut back to New York, which is that Moira goes into Jezebel's rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And there's this big balloon farewell sign. And I will say, when I saw that, I was like, did she freaking, like, do this herself so that they would have a farewell? Like,
I totally thought that was going to be the case. I totally thought she was going to come in like, oh, my God. And I thought Jocelyn's going to be like, well, Moira, this is you. So, I completely expected that when I saw it.
This entire scene is one giant Moira say what.
Oh, yeah.
First things first. Mm-hmm. She comes in. She's like, oh, my God, this is for me, whatever. She turns to Jocelyn and calls her a cheeky galpus. A cheeky galpus is a clumsy, stupid lout. It's Scottish. The word galpus is Scottish.
Oh.
And it means a clumsy, stupid lout. So that's Moira insulting the fuck out of Jocelyn.
Huh.
Like, oh, are we the town crier now, you cheeky galpus? Okay, Moira.
Wow.
Calm down. Calm down. Then she continues to, you know, share the news with everybody, despite Jocelyn saying that she has not done it and this isn't even for her, but that her husband or that their husbands, at her husband's direction, are pitching their expansion idea to the corporate Cognoscente.
Mm-hmm.
And Cognoscente is aficionados, discerning experts. So in the same breath that she's insulting the fuck out of Jocelyn, she's calling these New York people that we have already seen and know to be assholes aficionados and experts in their fields.
Okay.
Then it gets better when she turns to Grace, when she finally realizes who Grace is, and calls her a timorous grinagogue. Which is, so timorous means lacking confidence or being nervous. And a grinagogue is a foolish grinning fellow.
That's fucked up, dude.
Dude, it's so fucked up.
Wow.
She's just insulting them left and right because in her mind, she's done with this place.
But Jocelyn, too?
Mm-hmm. I just think that she has turned that switch. You know, flip that switch in her brain completely.
That makes me sad.
It is very sad. It's one thing the way she's been this whole time, right? Which is like, she's always got a bit of her, like her nose in the air, you know, because it's who she is. And you sort of accept that about her and you understand that that's just who she is, you know?
Yeah.
But this level of disrespect for her friends.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it really, really surprises me. now knowing like what is what that means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially the first one, the Cheeky Galpus.
Yeah, that one really hits, man.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Not the Moira we know and love.
No.
That's for sure. She could be condescending and she can, you know, have her little jabs and her moments at times, but not like that.
No. And especially because the way it comes off is, oh, I'm going to use these words you guys don't know and I'm going to insult you and you won't even know it because I'm going to say it with a smile. Like, that's how it comes off. Usually when she uses her vocabulary, it's because, you know, instead of saying dog, she's going to say canine, like that.
Right.
Right? It's not like just to fully demean you in to your face. That's never been the game.
Oh, Moira, I'm so saddened by this.
Yep.
So sad.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Okay, so we cut back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of them are sort of outside of the boardroom on their five-minute break while they set up the tech and clean up the water that was spilled. And here again, just like downstairs, there's a little bit of nervousness and tension in the air because of sort of they already know what the attitudes in that room are.
Right.
And Johnny once again girds everybody's, you know, spirits.
Look, we can't let this bumpy start derail why we're here. And why are we here, Stevie?
Because we have an idea.
No, because we have a great idea. And they should
be lucky to have us.
Damn right.
He's going to be that one that's, let's get pumped up, let's go back in there. Because it's true. They have a great idea.
He believes in it. And he believes in his partners. Yes. Let's face it.
Yeah.
He has absolute faith in these two, in this idea and everything. And he's not going to let a couple of snippy assholes in suits, you know, deter him from what he knows is a solid plan.
Right.
And so they go back in there, and there's that moment with the whole golf course thing where he just, like, owns the room.
Yes. He glides back in there. Oof. Like, what course? And maybe just he owns it. He owns it from there.
So I came in 200 par, and that is with half the course underwater. It's like it was ruined the whole trip. Horrible.
What course?
Ocean course in Kauai.
Ah, what hotel?
We got a villa at the St. Regis.
Oh, very nice. I've stayed there quite a few times. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have stayed in a motel? Now, when I say motel, what comes to mind? Run down, unclean, unsafe?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, that's what I used to think. I always saw motels as a last resort, a dreaded pit stop. But I was wrong. Motels have the potential of offering a window into the unique charm of small town life. And that's exactly what the Rosebud Motel Group plans to do. Open that window and revitalize the classic roadside motel for a new generation.
So they go through their pitch. Johnny turns it and makes it into this like personal story, which is, I think, also a feedback loop to earlier when Ruth was talking to him about how she really liked the free popcorn in his Rose Video Stores and how it was a personal touch. And then Johnny's able to make his pitch personal when he talks about his family.
You know, yeah, I did not expect when he was making this speech and they were showing the slideshow.
Yeah.
when they showed the roses in front of the motel, I got so emotional. Aww. Because he talks about how, you know, his family has lived there for 3 years in this motel and how he wouldn't change it for anything.
That line got me.
Yeah.
Oof, me too. That got me.
And you could tell it got Stevie too and Roland because they both look so happy that he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
It really is beautiful. And they've end their thing. They do that thing where they all say, you know, the line at the end together.
Where every stay feels like home.
And then it's over and they walk out. And Roland is so cute here where he's like, Johnny, you impressed me, man.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I left my briefcase. See what happens when you impress me, Johnny? Lose my stuff.
And even Stevie's just like, oh, my God. They're so excited. And they should be. Hello.
They fucking crushed it.
Yeah, they did.
They crushed it. And so as soon as Roland says, I'm going to go back and get it.
I knew, didn't you?
I knew.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
My heart sank to the floor.
I knew exactly what was going to happen. Holy shit. You know what I didn't know was going to happen? I didn't expect. I thought that he was going to walk in and hear the shit, mm-hmm. and he was going to walk right back out and like, no, let's just go. But the moment he entered that room anyways,
yeah,
like, and you saw him just put, you know, get chesty and like, nope, I'm going to do this. He held his head up very high. And he went off.
First a video store, now a motel chain. What, he wants to reinvent the pager next?
I forgot my briefcase.
Don't forget that.
Do you people know what it took for Johnny Rose to come back and do this after being away for all that time? Shame on you. Shame on all of you. Okay, I just realized you guys are flying us home, so I apologize for my outburst, but I don't regret it. The man's a legend.
He called him a legend.
Dude.
A legend. Dude. For Roland to say that about Johnny? With, you know, and they take jabs at one another, and Roland is the first person who will... who will speak about Johnny like he's some kind of a joke or like, oh, God, this guy?
Right. I mean, it literally in the last episode that happened.
Yes. But he called him a legend. And oh, my God, amazing. If he's not right. I mean, I was like a preacher, like on Sunday, just like, hey, man, like, just going to town. Good on Roland. I fucking love this man for saying these words. He didn't have to. He could have just walked out.
You're right.
And been like, you know what? Let's just go. I don't need the briefcase. But no. The whole time we're like, okay, so why was Roland here? What was his contribution? Well, what did he do? This is why Roland is here. And this is why Johnny and Stevie and the Rosebud Motel Group are extremely fortunate to have him. Because this is the kind of man he is.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
But yeah, so Roland obviously, you know, stands up for Johnny and tells them what's what. Walks out of there with his head held high and meets them downstairs in the lobby. And that's when Ruth comes up. And Roland, even then, trying to, like, protect Johnny and, like, not telling him exactly what happened, but is like, okay, Ruth, we don't need to be escorted out of the building, you know.
We can see our way out.
Yeah. But Ruth, fucking Ruth, comes through.
She's a light in the darkness.
She's a light in the darkness, but also I feel like they did such a good job of setting that up, too, from the minute she comes onto the scene. During the pitch, we cut to her sort of like whispering with her other assistant coworker.
And already knowing who Johnny is.
Exactly.
You know, having that experience at a young age, being in one of his video stores.
Yeah.
I mean, we're set up for that.
Yeah.
For Ruth is the good guy.
Ruth is the good guy who knows a good idea when she sees it.
Yes.
You know, and I love that little touch of like, these fuckers pass on everything. They passed on Uber when it came across their desk.
Great.
It's excellent. It's a wonderful line.
Yeah.
Because it paints such a vivid picture with so few words, you know?
Exactly. It lets them know, like, your idea isn't bad.
Right.
They're just fucking idiots.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so she says, you know, we've got the capital, we've got the partners, we're ready to launch in a month, and we want you. We want you on our team. That's we want to take you to lunch to hear more about your idea. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. And Roland, once again, dude, he says it like it is, and he tells Johnny, those people upstairs don't deserve to be in business with you.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah. You're right, Roland. They don't.
And Stevie sort of backs that up by saying that she gets a good vibe off of Ruth. And I think it's enough for Johnny to, like, figure out that, like, what he thought was going to happen today isn't what's going to happen, but that they can still pull something out of this.
Right.
And not come home empty-handed.
Absolutely.
And, well, sure as shit. Okay.
There they are. They're waiting all outside lined up again. Right.
I love that thing of... It's obviously it's the roses, right? Yeah. Obviously it's Patrick. But then that Jocelyn's there too, which obviously Jocelyn would be there too.
Sure.
But there's this sense of camaraderie that's happening with the fact that they're all sitting there. And especially I think with Jocelyn and Moira, it's like, oh yeah, your husbands are doing this together. You guys are intertwined with each other forever potentially with this business, you know? And it's this really sweet thing.
As they're sitting there though. And David kind of shifts in his seat, in his chair.
That awkward look between him and Patrick.
I felt it. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, at that moment, scared.
Yes.
Because that was a look.
That was end all looks.
What's really tough, I think, is when you're in a relationship with somebody and there's the intimacy and you love each other and really great days. And yeah, we have really bad days in a relationship too, but... That is hard. That's a harsh, harsh look and feeling, I think, between two people who care about each other. Because in that moment, neither one of them said anything. And the look, and it was just like a mm-mm. There's no words. It's just, oh, shit. We're not good right now. And that sucks.
That look carried all of the uncertainty in this relationship in it. And not just... about this particular thing about moving to New York or whatever. It felt like that look was so loaded with all of the big questions that they have with each other. And I think that the conversation that's coming that we feel like has to come is going to not just be about moving to New York. It's going to be about everything.
Everything. Before this episode, I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought if this would have happened in an earlier episode, like, okay, and we've talked about this before. We're like, okay, and you were the one who brought it up, actually, about how the talk needs to happen. Like, it needs to be a bigger discussion at some point. And I didn't think so, you know, at that moment. And up until this episode, I never thought so. I was like, nothing's going to happen here. Mm-hmm. Like, we're safe and with this couple, nothing's going to happen. But because of this episode and how I have no idea what the fuck is happening anymore, like, I'm worried.
So here's the thing. Because we live in the age of the internet and, you know, the age of think pieces and interviews and stuff, I'm not so worried, really, in my heart of hearts. I don't think... that this whole thing has just been a setup to a gut punch of things falling apart. I don't think that. But since that's the case, I am very interested in the resolution to get there because I don't want it to be cheap. I don't want it to be not worth it. You know, if it's going to be like this, I want it to be worth my time.
Yeah.
You know,
let Patrick's concerns or David's concerns, for that matter, be validated.
Give me a juicy, real
But let them be able to feel them and give it weight, you know?
Yeah.
Don't just gloss over it and be like, okay, well, they had their little fun and everything's going to be great, but we had to acknowledge it. And I don't think they will. I'm just worried. I have this sense of, like, worry with this now.
I know what you mean. And I think it's a valid thing to feel that. And but again, I think that that's what they want us to feel.
Well done.
Right. Yes. Congratulations, Schitt's Creek.
Thanks for making me fucking nervous, guys. Good job.
So they're all sitting there waiting. Ugh. Moira makes that funny comment of, your father's insistence on waiting to tell this news in person has such consequences. Or, you know, she's like, it could go either way.
Yes.
And so then they finally pull up and they come out of the car. And Johnny does this whole tired and, you know, like down. And then he, like, smiles and nods. And they all start screaming and jumping and running towards them. I love so much about this. I love that Moira, obviously, is just like, ah,
yeah,
you know, and just runs straight for Johnny. I love that Alexis also runs straight for Johnny, that Jocelyn runs straight for Roland, of course.
Yes.
But I especially love that David runs straight for Stevie.
I know, I know.
Amidst all of the screaming and celebrating, he takes the moment to be like, oh, so you're a real businesswoman now.
And I love her response. Damn right I am.
That
I mean.
I've missed it.
Yeah.
I've missed their friendship. I feel like we haven't really had it this season.
No, we haven't. We haven't had a lot of it. And I thought I was expecting something different. I think, especially knowing that she was going to be his best man or maid of honor, I expected it to be different. I thought they were going to have more moments.
I would have thought so, too.
You know? But when we do get them, it's so sweet. And I love them.
Yeah.
And I put them in my little keepsake box. But yeah, I mean, the level of excitement with all of them is fucking, like you feel it for them.
Yeah.
As they're running and the looks on their faces, and especially David, I have to say, when I saw him like, oh my God, get the way he did. I haven't seen David like that. I don't know how fucking long.
It's been a while. Yeah. And especially that he's beelining it to Stevie, I think makes it that much sweeter, you know? And then they all get into this big circle, like big huddle. And Moira's like, you know, champagne for everybody. And we end on another heavy as fuck look.
Yeah.
From Patrick to David.
Yeah. Ouch.
And that one is even worse, I think, because it's one that David isn't reciprocating. Mm-hmm. It's like he's, you know, he's present in the moment of celebration. And Patrick is not.
Yeah.
Patrick is not present in that moment.
And in all fairness to Patrick, he doesn't need to be.
That's fair.
Because while this is great news, and he is, he's happy and he's excited for them. Sure, this is his fiance's family. He loves them. He cares for them. But also, like, this is his life, too.
Yep.
And David just said something major about their life. So it's a little like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the uncertainty of things and not sure where David's head is at, what's going to happen. Yeah, I mean.
Yep.
It worries me. It worries me.
This is a pretty damn good cliffhanger.
Yes, it is. What a way to, like, usher us in to the finale.
Yeah.
But, yeah, here we are.
Any observations?
Just really funny when they're waiting for them to get back and Jocelyn makes that comment. I feel like this is Deal or No Deal exists with the rest of my life. It is so hilarious to me.
That's such a good line.
That she's comparing this moment to Deal or No Deal. Like, fucking amazing. It was good.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, that was it.
Okay.
Those are my stray observations. You?
Yeah. The scene where Moira calls the children in to pray or send energies.
How important. How did we forget this?
That scene is the best thing that has happened in a long time.
Yes.
It is so good.
Yes. I will agree with you 1,000,000%.
They end up on their knees holding hands and raising them into the air as Moira is speaking to some being out in the universe.
They. And even David asks her, are we praying?
And she goes, don't be silly.
But I love, oh my gosh, when she's like talking about Johnny, she's talking about his build.
She like, goes, what? She goes, my husband, Johnny Rose. Oh, I'm sorry, 5'10. Yes.
And then she calls him her macho man. My John, my macho man. Oh my God.
And it's, you know what it is? It's because it's on the heels. So it's after the Jazza Gals thing. When she sees the three exploding head emojis that Roland has sent, and Jocelyn explains that usually when he sends those, it's because his head is exploding. I think that sets her off to where, okay, if this isn't going well, we need to send all the good jujus out into the world.
Yeah.
And so she calls them both in, and they go along with this whole thing. And at the end, she calls out Alexis's dry hand, dry as an autumn leaf hand.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious, yeah, that scene.
It's amazing.
Moira's voice as she's like praying, and it's her, the pitch goes up and it goes down, and she's like, and oh my God, she's like wants to cry, but doesn't want to lose her shit.
Right.
But like, also doesn't know how to feel right now. So,
and just David's face, like with his hands in the air, like just like, what are
and then when they all like closed? Look up and open their eyes, like, are you a coven? Like, what is happening right now?
It's the craziest thing. I love it.
It really
so
is.
Much.
It really is.
It's a great moment.
Yeah. And the way he looks at her, like, are you okay? Yeah. It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
Man. I do want to acknowledge something because I know we missed this. In the last episode.
Okay.
We did not acknowledge Dairy Watch.
Dairy Watch.
And it was a major Dairy Watch.
It was
Watch.
A major one, yes.
She was like ODing on yogurt.
Yes.
So I just wanted to throw that out there. We saw it.
Yeah.
Bad on us for not acknowledging it.
Yep.
Dairy Watch, Alexis edition. But it was there, guys. We saw it.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Let's get into our next segment, shall we?
Who wore what best?
Whoop, whoop. So for me, it's Stevie in a suit.
Nice.
Stevie in a suit is everything. Her hair is so beautiful and shiny. Like, I just want to, like, run my hands over it. It's, like, falling in waves. She looks so good in a suit. So
nice.
That's it.
I will allow that.
Oh,
that's
thanks.
Great. Okay, so for me, I'm going to give it to David because I don't know what the fuck is happening. Fucking rip up jeans and make it fashion. I don't know, but it's something is happening here, and it's just that piece. It is this skort denim. What the fuck it is. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It's fashion, I guess.
It's amazing.
But I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And when I see his legs, it just makes me so happy seeing his legs too. But yeah, I couldn't, every time I was in a scene or there was a scene with David, I wanted to see this thing because I really wanted to like pick it apart. I wanted to see what was happening with it and if it was an actual skort or what the deal was.
He called it a skort. Dan called it a skort on either Instagram or Twitter.
Okay.
So I think we can assume it was a skort.
Mm-hmm. But damn.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know?
Yeah.
Only David can pull that shit off. I will say that. Only David. So I'm giving it to the denim skort.
Nice.
Yes.
All right. Let's get into ratings. Ratings. What ratings?
Well, for moi, I loved this episode. And I feel like this is just going to be what it is now for the end.
I mean, right?
So whatever. It's 5 out of 5. Half muffins nice. For me. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's at this point in the game, and not just because it's the series end or
sure.
whatever, but also just, I mean, they're bringing their A game here.
They are.
These last two episodes have been fire. And so for me, it's 5 out of 5 M&M stores.
That's right.
All right. Is that going to do it for us?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, as always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Up Schitt's Creek Pod on Instagram and Facebook or at Up Schitt's Creek on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/upschittscreek, where for a limited time, if you subscribe at the podcast producer level, you can get your hands on a piece of our merch.
Yes.
And until next time,
stay safe and stay healthy, shitheads, because we love you. Kilvage.
Blessings. This episode is brought to you by the generous donations of Emily, Lucina, and Daphne.
You're simply the best.